There we go, try that. Could we squeeze in? We have some more people. If you have some seats next to you that are clear, would you mind squeezing in a little bit, leaving the end seats open so it's easier for people to get in? Greatly appreciate that. While we're waiting for this to come up, there it is. Where do we have some seats? We got one, two, a couple seats over there. We got two over there. We got them all over. Three over here? Four over here, right up front, left side. You're right. All right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we need you to do a miracle through the preaching of your word, that you would change our hearts, that you would stamp eternity on our eyeballs, as Jonathan Edwards said. Lord, I pray today that you would fill me afresh with your spirit, and that I would be led by you as I preach your word, and that this time would bring you honor and bring you glory, Lord, in a way that only you can do. And so, Lord, do a miracle through the preaching of your word. Love your people. Serve your people once again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Wasn't that great having a youth worship band lead us? I love that. I had talked to Sam and I said, listen, I always love youth worship teams leading the Sunday morning service. It's just encouragement for them and encouragement for the body, the future worship leaders, the future worship participants. Man, it's so great seeing them use their gift. Retirement, coming up to it. And, you know, one of the things that happen when you get to this phase, you find out how it worked when you were younger, when you started planning for it, right? Because what you find is that if you go to a planner, they'll tell you that your future goals direct present action. So what happens is that what you're focusing on in the future affects how you live today. For example, if you're saying, well, boy, I really, one of the main things for me is to be healthy, then there's certain things you won't do or will do when you're younger in order to be healthier when you're older. You choose not to smoke. You choose not to drink. You make choices in your life. And those choices have an effect down the road. What I like to call it is, in the business world, it's called opportunity cost. You have a finite amount of time. You have a finite amount of resources. And how you, if I take my $1,000 and I spend it on doors for my convertible, I can't spend that $1,000 for retirement. That's it. It's set up. It's an opportunity cost. So if you spend it somewhere, you can't spend it in another place. And so you're kind of looking at your goals. It's also with time. You have a finite amount of time. It's just a small amount of time. And this amount of time, if you use this hour up today, you can't go anywhere else. You're using it here. So there's this opportunity cost in life. In Scripture, it would be tied to sowing and reaping. You're sowing certain things and you're going to reap the results of that. But in the business world, it's called opportunity cost. And so what happens is we see that we have things that we're looking at for the future that we want to accomplish, and that's causing us to live a certain way today. It affects us. It affects our time expenditure, our financial expenditure, all kinds of things. And my main point today is this, that the Lord wants Christians' lives to be dominated by an eternal perspective. That's how God wants you to look ahead. Retirement is good, but how about eternity? How are you preparing for that? You know, God calls Christians to live with an eternal perspective, yet many believers primarily live with the earthly future in mind rather than an eternal future. We as believers pursue good things. They're not bad things, hopefully. But they're eternally worthless things when you get right down to it, because they're eventually going to be destroyed. You know, that brand new car you had to have, right? Someday, it's just going to be absolutely destroyed. I love walking through a junkyard, and I think of all the people that went into huge amounts of debt to buy their car of their dream, and there it is in the junkyard. You know, we pursue things that are eventually going to be destroyed or left behind when we die. My GTO. When I die, my GTO, I'm not taking it with me. If there's a 32 deuce up in heaven and there's such a thing as that, I'm getting one of those. But the goat is staying down here, right? So we pursue these things that are going to be destroyed or left behind when we die. Take a look at God's Word. John 12:43. They love the glory that... Whoop, that was right. They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. It's not just things. It's accolades from people. Things we pursue to feel good about ourselves. It goes on, John 6:27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. And 2 Peter 3:10-11. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. That's the end of it all. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness? Puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? It's saying live for eternity, not for now. You know, I think the most eye-opening moment in everyone's eternal existence is the moment we die. The moment we die. Because then what will happen is the unseen will be seen. Right at that moment. And I think if you don't know Jesus, what happens is you realize it's true. All the things that I had heard preached are true. And there stands Jesus. And those people that don't know Christ are left undone. Because the reality of eternity is there. And there Jesus stands, completely separated from Him. And there was a way, and they turned away from it. What about for the believer? I still think it's going to be this incredible wake-up moment where what happens is this. We die, and all of a sudden, the unseen is seen, and we're overjoyed. And I don't know if this is even possible, but I'm going to say it. Maybe a little regret. Because at that moment, you may think, boy, did I waste a lot of my life on stuff that didn't matter. I spent so much of my life on things instead of on the unseen. That flash of regret. That there was so much more to live for that I wasted my life on instead. You'll realize we foolishly focused the majority of our short life on temporal things, on seen things, on worthless things. Let me ask you a $1 million question. If you knew that by next Sunday, you would be dead. How differently would you live this week? How would you live differently? Things would suddenly take an order, wouldn't they? Things that maybe now aren't priority would go way up on your list. Why? Because you knew you didn't have much time and you wanted to invest in the things that would matter that last week. You'd do that. You'd talk to the people you loved and you'd make sure they knew you loved them. You would get your affairs in order. My guess is you would make sure you're right with God. What would you do different if you knew by next Sunday you were going to be dead? That's a hard question, isn't it? The truth is that every day is the last day for someone. We don't know. And when we look at life on this earth, in comparison to eternity, our life is so short. And I know that's hard to believe if you're a young person today. But we older people say this all the time. Man, what happened to life? How did it go by so fast? I was standing in the back. I was looking at some of the boys back there, Freeland boys, and thinking, what happened, man? I used to be that big. And now I'm 65. Life is short compared to eternity. It's so short. So it's imperative that you invest your life now in four things that the Word of God says are eternal. Four things: God, His Word, people, and godly character. Take a look at God's Word. Again, James 4. 14b, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. It says this more than once in the Word of God, over and over. Your life is short compared to eternity. Over and over, talks about mist, talks about how short it is. Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is eternal. He was before time. He will be forever. We see Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That is Jesus speaking. The Word of God is somehow eternal. It will never pass away. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. People are eternal. We won't die and then all of a sudden, poof, we're gone. There's an eternity awaiting everyone. Life after life. And Scripture says it's either in heaven or in hell. And that's what is goats, sheep, light, dark, wheat, tares, no middle ground. That's the reality of it. Like one guy said, every day, I come across immortals. Every day I speak to immortals because every person will be immortal. They'll live forever. Only question is in heaven or in hell. So people are eternal. And finally, 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life and also for life to come. So somehow holiness, godly character, is something that is eternal. So these are the things that we need to invest our lives in. To live for the glory of God. And to invest our life in eternal treasures, like fellowship with Jesus. You know, just sitting at His feet. A time when you got nothing to do and you walk outside and you're just sitting in the sun and you're blown away because it's warming your skin. And you're just in awe of God that He made the sun just a perfect distance away. And you're not burned up. You're not freezing. And you just stand in awe of God. You know, that's eternal stuff. Spending your time in God's Word, opening it up and reading it and saying, I don't understand this or I don't agree with this. And God says, well, let me talk to you. It's that investing in our relationship with Jesus. That stuff is eternal somehow. As we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is eternal. You see how important your quiet times are? Because they're an investment in something that is eternal. And that's why the enemy fights so hard to pull you away from that. Because he knows that that is eternal stuff. To delight in Jesus and to spend time in his word and in prayer, serving your brothers and sisters. This youth band today did something that is eternal. They came here and they're serving us. They're blessing us with their gifts. And that is an eternal thing. And I'll bet you on the worship team, none of you thought of that. But it's true. Because they're serving Jesus Christ by serving his body. And that's an eternal thing. To use your gifts to serve the Lord and his body is eternal. Those ladies and men that are teaching Sunday school this morning, you are doing something that is eternal, that has eternal value. That is amazing. People that set apart their time to come here and shake hands at the front door. Why? Because, you see, they have a finite amount of time. And they want to invest in what matters. And somebody said, we need somebody to greet people so they would feel welcome. And they did that. And something small like that, tiny, makes a difference. You see, they're investing the finite amount of time they have, putting aside other things that they could do, sleeping in, watching the NFL pregames and stuff like that, that start at like midnight the night before, it seems. Right? It's just like, wow, I don't even want to. But anyway, it's that investing in the eternal things that matter. Sharing today, the Sunday school teachers, about parenting in a way that is godly, and the Sunday school teachers opening up God's word and the stories. That's eternal stuff. You're investing in people. And obviously, when we love one another, we come in here, we encourage one another. You know, the Lord lays on your heart somebody and you see them and you wonder if they're okay. Hey, how are you doing today? Oh, that's kind of a rough day. Can I pray for you? Stuff like that is eternal. I don't understand how, but it's serving God. It's serving his people. And when you're investing in your godly character, wanting to become more like Jesus, more holy, that is eternal stuff that matters. And see, we get lost in all this. We think that the only eternal stuff is Dan preaching. And it's not true. That's just my part. But there's so many other ways when we use our gifts for the glory of God. When we use our time put aside to serve people, serve others. That stuff is eternal. But you see, we live in a self-centered world, don't we? How long does it take? How many commercials do you have to watch before you hear this statement? You deserve this. Right? What is it? I didn't count, but it's amazing. You watch commercials and eventually somebody say, you deserve to have this trip. Or you deserve to have this hand cream. Or you deserve whatever it is. Right? I mean, that's what it is. That's what it says, right? You deserve this. And we get caught up in all that, but what happens is we're in a world that talks about us being self-centered and about us, about this vision that we have about being us. You know, the world focuses around us, and everything that happens is about us. So it's natural that we're self-centered, because you throw in the fact that that's how we are anyway in our flesh. We are self-centered. That's part of our sin nature. Little kids, I say all the time, what do you have to teach a little child to share or to be selfish? To share. What do you got to teach an adult to do? Share or be selfish? Right? Share. You see, what has to happen is there has to be something that God's Spirit does to our hearts. It's got to be a work of God that changes our hearts, that transforms our hearts, that recalibrates our hearts, so that we desire and pursue the unseen, the eternal, above the seen things, the temporal. God's got to do a work in our hearts, or we're going to stay self-centered. We're going to stay focused on this world rather than the eternal. Take a look at God's word. Our verse for today, Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. How? As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what it's talking about. When we live for the eternal, we're walking by faith and not by sight. We're trusting God. We're putting our investment in the things that matter. And finally, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Those things are eternal. You see, if you're living for the seen, the things that are temporal, it means this, that your life is focused and dictated by things of this world and the flesh. It's dictated by it. Your life is run by what the world says, what you want for you. That's living by what is seen. But living by what is unseen is a life focused and dictated by eternal realities beyond your present senses. It's this ability to live by God's Spirit, by Him transforming, by Him recalibrating our hearts to live for things that are unseen. Living for the glory of God. Living for a place beyond here, heaven, our home away from home. To live for things that matter for eternity. For living for the glory of God. Asking the Spirit of God to transform our hearts, that our hearts would value and desire the Lord above all else. And if that happens, we will live with an eternal perspective, and we will do it with delight, not duty. You know, when you got to give up your time and somebody says, we need help with this, nursery, whatever, Sunday school. And you go, oh, man, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I want to get home early. You know, the pre-games are on. There's nothing wrong with it. Good things. But again, what happens is it's opportunity cost. If I do this, I can't do that. And so then what happens is, so what's determining what you will do in that situation? Is it an eternal perspective or a worldly seen perspective? Again, good things, not bad things, but things that we may regret down the road when we stand before Jesus and go, wow, I sure wasted a lot of my life on foolish things. And you see, when we live with that eternal perspective, we don't do it because oh man, I got to go hold the doors open for people this morning. Oh, really? It's, man, I get to hold the doors open for God's people. Man, I get to greet people. I get to smile and shake their hand. God, help me to do that. And if your attitude stinks, because I got to be honest, sometimes my attitude stinks. I don't want to get up and come to church and preach. There, I said it. I don't want to do it. Pastor Pillow's looking pretty good. So I got to say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart. My heart is dark, is black. It's evil. God, change my heart. I want to delight in serving you today. I don't want it to be a duty, my job. I want to delight in this, God. I want to rejoice in it. So He changes our hearts. You see, if we live for the unseen above the seen, you will give higher priority to the inward character and holiness over the outward appearance, worldly praise, or any accomplishments you make. Take a look at God's Word. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So is God telling you, don't take care of yourself, never brush your teeth, don't clean up? No. Of course not. But he's saying, if that becomes your whole focus, to where you're pushing aside spiritual things, you got a priority issue. Don't have time for a quiet time, but we can get up and do our morning stuff. Why isn't God there? He's saying, focus on the inner. Don't throw aside the things that are outer. You got to be faithful in your job. You got to continue to work and provide for your family, husbands. You got to take care of that stuff. But what he's saying is things get out of whack. We're so consumed with those things that the things that are spiritual are pushed aside. He said we don't have time. Look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, that self-control there is really what it comes down to when we're looking at the opportunity cost. Am I going to spend my time doing this or doing this? We got to have self-control. What is the focus of the future? Where is your heart at? What's the focus of the future? Because that should determine, just like it does with your finances, if you got a retirement plan or you got a plan to whatever, play basketball in the NBA. It affects your decisions today. You see, focusing and having a higher priority on the inward character over the outward appearance and worldly praise and accomplishments is especially relevant in today's self-centered, image-oriented world. Because if you're young, you have a certain look you're trying to get, right? I always think that's unique when you go to high schools, because in particular, because that's where you see it the most. We do it as adults too, just so you know. Okay? Because you'll see me this afternoon. I won't be wearing this shirt. I'll be wearing a t-shirt. Why? Because that's what I like to wear. But you go to the high schools and you see, well, here's this group, and they're all dressed like this, right? And then there's another group, and they're dressed like this. Why is it different? Because everybody has their different views of what they think is cool, is the look. This is my look. And some have military combat boots and are all dressed in black and their hair is colored. And other ones have dresses on and look, are the cheerleader look. Everybody has their thing that they shoot for. If you're a young person, it's the look. If you're an old person, here's what it is: to look young. Right? It don't matter what we wear. We just, we're going to run around, we're going to hide, and we're going to do all these other things in order to look young. And we can pursue that. See, again, is any of this stuff wrong? It's not wrong. But what happens is we're so consumed with this stuff that the things that matter are pushed aside. The eternal things are pushed aside. And we get caught up in the world around us. And we're worried about what people think. We've got to have the right stuff so people think this and that about us. We have to have the right accomplishments so we feel good. We spend so much time and money making the exterior look good, yet while on the inside we're broken and we're ugly. We're just broken and ugly. And some of us just hide it better than others. We're all broken and ugly on the inside. I'm broken and ugly on the inside. God's showing me some of my ugliness. Holy cow. Wow. Last couple of weeks, whew, we're all broken and ugly in the inside. Some of us just hide it better than others. But we need to deal with that inner. Work on those things by God's grace and mercy. His Spirit changing us and transforming us. You see, because the most important thing is not your looks, but who you're becoming. Who are you becoming? There's a million-dollar question, too. I'm asking big questions today, aren't I? Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Is it all about the outside looking good and letting everything be broken and ugly on the inside, and that's okay because you're hiding it? Or are you really working on, I want to be like Jesus. I want to become like Christ. Lord, and this attitude stinks. This attitude is dark and it's black. Forgive me. And I've been battling this for 20 years. Set me free, Jesus. You see, the inward is more important than the outward. That we would become more like Jesus. We talked about this last week. That we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what it's talking about. That we would hunger and thirst for righteousness on the inside. That we'd be so desirous of being like Christ. But that would be our heart's goal. You see, then we're living for the unseen, not the seen. We're wanting to become more like Jesus, more holy in our thoughts, the things that nobody else knows but God. He sees those things and he says, you know what? It's more important to be beautiful on the inside then. And by God's grace, we can become more beautiful, because sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit as well. Justification is God calling us, and sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, is a work of the Holy Spirit. But like I always say, it's grace with blisters. That's what we talked about last week, too. It's God's work, but we have a role in it. We have to invest in those things. It's the opportunity cost. What are you going to spend your limited amount of time on? You're going to spend it over here on temporary seen things or eternal things? Where are you going to invest it? By God's grace, He will change us to desire those things that are unseen and eternal. He will do that work. Because you see, what happens is this. From your heart, because really that's the issue. The issue isn't the world around you. The world is the problem is the world in you. Okay? Your heart. Your heart. That's the issue. Your heart. Because the Word of God shows us something. We're talking about how the fact that, you know, when it comes to opportunity cost, we look and we see what we want in the future. And then we adjust our lives accordingly in order to accomplish that. You see, so what happens is if the eternal isn't our desire, isn't where we're pursuing those things, then there's a problem with the heart. Because the Word of God says this, that from the heart springs all our words, all our actions, all the issues of life. You see, the heart is what filters the things that we do through our grid. For example, cornfield. You say, what are you talking about, Dan? A cornfield. People look at a cornfield in a different way depending upon their heart. Right? If you're a farmer, you view a cornfield differently than somebody who is not a farmer. Right? You view it different. You might view it, boy, there's a lot of money sitting in that cornfield. Nothing wrong with that view. A lot of money. If you're just into nature, you go, that is so beautiful, that cornfield. You see how it moves when the wind comes? Have no concern about the money. It's all about the beauty of the cornfield. You see, our heart filters how we view things. Rain. It's raining out. Great. The farmer says, good, the crops need it. Or, no, we got too much. The kid says, I can't go outside and play because it's raining. Except if you have really cool parents and they let you go outside and play in the mud puddles. That's a good parent. Or it's, I just washed my car. You see how our hearts filter things? We view things differently through our hearts. Because our hearts, out of them flow the issues of life, is what Scripture says. Take a look at God's Word. Matthew 12, 34 through 35. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Saying, we speak Look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, that's why. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue for us. If we treasure those things, we will take this cost opportunity and we'll say, this is where my heart is. And so I need to adjust my life for the things that matter. Because we all do it. We all do it. That's why I started this message out the way I did. What is important to you, you're making time for. What is important for you, you're putting money towards. You're putting efforts towards. You're doing it. You're doing it right now. The question is, are you investing in the seen or the unseen? Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Every day you're either moving toward or away from your heart's delight. Do you know that? Every single day you're moving either towards or away from your heart's delight. If your heart's delight, if you find all your focus and your joy on this world, then every day you live, you're moving farther away from it. But if your heart's delight is in Jesus and in the things that are eternal and desiring to be holy, then what happens is every day you're moving one day closer to your heart's delight. That moment where you pass from this life to the next and you see Jesus. So you're either moving toward or away from your heart's delight every day you live. So my challenge is this. Now we're all feeling guilty, right? That's not my intent. Unless the Holy Spirit's convicting you, then that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But here's the deal. You can't change your past. Leave it behind you. Let it go. Leave it behind you. But you can change the future. You can change the future. You can look at your life. If the Spirit of God has convicted you of anything, whether you need to change your life, you need to come back to Christ, submit your life to Jesus for the very first time and start living for eternal things. Or whether it's just rearranging your checkbook, rearranging your schedule, rearranging your priorities, whatever it might be, you can move forward by God's grace and God's mercy and change the future. That's the good news. Take a look at God's Word. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Boy, there's a prayer for us, isn't it? Every morning, Lord Jesus, teach me to number my days. Give me a heart of wisdom today, Lord. Help me be faithful in all my responsibilities that I might glorify you in all things. God, teach me to number my days. Colossians 3, 2, our verse. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Use your time for the glory of God. Daily evaluate your opportunity cost. Well, if I do this, I can't do this. And then start weighing it out. Ask God to do this in you. Okay, is what I'm going to do value to the kingdom of God for eternal purposes? Am I taking care of my responsibilities? Again, I don't want this message to think that, okay, guys, you know, we're just going to all quit our jobs and we're going to go live out on a mountain somewhere and talk to Jesus for 24 hours a day. That's not what I'm talking about. We have responsibilities, and that honors God as well. He called us to do those things. Taking care of our families, taking care of our vehicles and things like that. He's called us to do those things, to be responsible. But what I'm talking about is we do that at the expense of the eternal. We don't have the time. Daily evaluate the opportunity cost and make decisions about your time, your treasure, and priorities that reflect living for eternity. Here's a one-liner. Somebody told me recently, said, you ought to write all your one-liners down. So I always forget that. Live for the beach, not the sand. There you go. Live for the beach, not the sand. If every grain of sand on the beach represented your entire life, let's just say 100 years, and you multiply every grain of sand on that beach is 100 years, live for the beach, not for one grain of sand, not just for this life. Live for something bigger, something greater, something more worthy. Live for the glory of God as His people. Live for the beach, not the particle of sand. So easy to do that. You see, the Lord wants Christians' lives to be dominated by an eternal perspective through living for the unseen above the seen and focusing on the inner holiness over outward appearance, that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. Carpe diem, right? Seize the day. How about this? Seize the life. Seize your life. For the glory of God, do this. And by God's grace, live with an eternal perspective. Seize the day. Seize your life. Take a look at this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. We live too much in time. We're too earthbound. We see as other men see. We think as other men think. We invest our time as the world invests it. But if we took hold of eternity as a reality, I'm convinced we'd be a different breed of people. Wow. And C.T. Studd, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Invest your life in what will last for an eternity. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. I just confess my own sin in this area, Lord. It's so easy to just put aside the things that are eternal. The draw of the world, the busyness of life, Lord, and the things that matter get pushed aside. Please forgive me. Lord, would you do a work in my heart to recalibrate it? To desire the unseen above the seen. To focus on the inner more than the outward. God, do this work for your glory, for my good. And God, if this message meant anything, if you used this to convict people, then give us the grace to walk in what you've convicted us of, Lord, that we would bring you glory. God, thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus alone. And thank you for this time, Lord, with my brothers and sisters. Do a work in us, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to praise God.